Good morning, everybody. It's Monday. Spring has sprung. Oh, I'm so excited. I love it. Yesterday was a beautiful day. Had a nice family lunch with some friends from all over the place. It was fantastic. I could feel spring and summer in the air. Go like this.
It's lovely.
Morning, Lee S.
Hi.
How the hell are you?
All good. Yeah.
Do you like this?
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I might have a little lie down.
You can. That's the fun part. On Friday, Simpiwe was saying she's going to come in next week and she's going to have her snacks laid out, a little blankie. And I mean, it feels a lot more, you know,
more homely.
Yeah, less newsy. All right, look, yes. There's Shani live in the comments, as always. Very early, this woman. She's fucking up at times. Everyone else is fast asleep. Bitcoin Boot saying hi. All right. Hope you had a good weekend. I hope you were nice and relaxed. You did all the fun things and got to see the people you wanted to see and none of the ones you didn't. Very important.
Those ones.
I've got a little bit of bad news for you today that Dr. Hanan won't be with us.
Well, they'll just have to do double work on us next time.
And listen, there's work to be done. We are like his most steady client at this point. I think we've had more sessions with him than anybody else. And don't think we don't turn them into sessions for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Dr. Hanan is, he's on a little break himself, thank God, because he needs it. Who doesn't? And this is as good a time as any to take a little time off. So we wish him well, but he won't be on the show this morning. We do, however, have a little bit of a sports update with James. James will be joining us. And then we also have...
when did James become James?
No, that's they call him in the sports show, so I just thought it was appropriate. They do, right? By the way, speaking of the sports show, if you were paying attention over the weekend, you will know that because of a certain football match that was held on Friday... Was it yesterday? Yeah. No. But when did they do the challenge? Was it?
Yeah.
So how come he did the freezing ice bath?
That was last week.
Okay. So I'm talking about Sandile, who went to Ben's house and got in the ice bath.
Mm.
First time ever. It was like a punishment for him. And they gave him 2 minutes in there and it's hilarious. Are we going to release that today?
Yes.
Okay. Very, very good. I've seen the before reel, before they've done any edits to it. Man, that poor guy suffered. But, you know, if you support a shit team, I suppose that's what you get, right? So that's coming up. And then we're going to speak to someone a little later. He's a Greek guy. His name is Kip Archimedes. You like?
It's nothing, not related
very
to
good name.
Achilles.
No, Archimedes. Okay. Archimedes.
Yes.
You remember Archimedes. It's the one... He jump in the bath. He go, Eureka, I got it. And run down the street and no clothes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that is Archimedes. This one is Skip Archimedes. And Skip Archimedes will be joining us, a transformational, holistic health coach, Leanne, to get
very
us
good.
Ready for summer. Isn't that exciting?
Very much needed.
Very much needed. Okay, so got a lot to get into today. I just want to say, right up front, first and foremost, I'm so happy that Chidima Adetshina, who was in South Africa and tried to enter Miss South Africa, and all these xenophobes in this country chased her out because she wasn't sufficiently South African, whatever that means.
Born in South Africa.
Yeah. And so she upped and went and took part in Nigeria's competition.
Well, she was invited by them, which
that's right.
Yeah. Something.
So she's become Miss Universe Nigeria. So... It's all those jealous, miserable, sexist shit in South Africa who didn't like her and thought that she didn't have a right to compete just because she was, I don't know, mom was born in Nigeria, didn't fill in the right papers. I mean, if that's all you've got, if your nationality, your sense of belonging to a country is all you have because you have no other qualities and you're not nearly as pretty as her, you're always going to be miserable. It doesn't matter who Chidima enters competitions for. I got bad news for you. Your life's always going to be shit.
But this is also showing Nigeria in a very good light.
Yeah, it makes Nigeria seem like a open, accepting, first world place, and we look like a rural backwater that's full of tribal thinking. That's what happens. So you know what? Good. Proves again that the people on Twitter who make the most noise are usually the dumbest.
Yeah, well, not
I know
only...
you. I know you feel very strongly about beauty pageants, Leah.
Well, hardly. I mean, we were just trying to figure out. So now she's Miss World Nigeria.
Mm.
Okay. No, or,
yeah,
and
Miss
then
Universe
there's Miss,
Nigeria.
Yes, Miss Universe. And then there's still a Miss World Nigeria.
Yeah.
The same happens here. And then there are individual competitions.
I mean, look at her. She's, first of all, I mean, she's a very beautiful woman.
Mm.
I don't understand how anyone could have drummed up such a lot of nonsense about this girl. Really. You need to be ashamed of yourself if you're one of the people who led the charge against her. Really. You will never. Let me just point out, every person who said something horrible about her on social media, you will never be on that stage. You will never look that good. You will never be that thin. You will never have that many people want to be around you. You will always be a sad, shriveled, bitter, resentful sack of shit.
A bitter sack of shit is much worse than just a normal sack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we are. All right. Now
and
I've got
and
it
good
out of
to her. I mean,
system.
She's been through absolute hell. She was basically driven out and banished.
Right.
But then accepted into the arms of a fellow African country.
And by the way, she's been so graceful about all of this too. She said she had expressed her love for South Africa and her appreciation for the support that she received. She will now represent Nigeria in the upcoming Miss Universe. You see, I always get confused. So if you win a Miss South Africa or a Miss Nigeria or whatever, then do you automatically go into Miss World?
I think you do. And then I think Miss Universe, you have to go into a Miss Universe country competition.
It seems to me like only really, really pretty, really silly girls know the true mechanics of all of this. Because James asked me earlier and I'm like,
no, I have no idea.
I don't actually know. I mean, like I could literally hear the music playing in my head going, I don't know how this works.
And I mean, are they like
very
just
complex
replicas of each other? Can you compete in both?
Like if you're in Miss Universe, you come and win Miss World. Or can you? Can you be Miss Everything? There's probably a Miss Everything competition.
Maybe.
There probably is, right? Anyway, well done to her. So I just wanted to have a full-on for all those people who were so horrible to her when she tried to enter Miss South Africa. So good stuff. Now, let us pay attention to really important things because we've got to start thinking about the end of the year. I know.
It's crazy. If you're in the marketing world, your marketing calendars for 2024 are wrapped up. You've already decided what's happening in December, and you're moving on to the new seasons of the year.
Are you already wrapped up for the year, so you have a whole plan?
Yeah, absolutely. Whole plan done. It's quite challenging to think about what's happening in Christmas when it's basically winter. Still on this side, but
no, it's not. It's not winter.
I
wore a t-shirt this morning in the car, and then when I got out of the car, I said to the producers because they got out at the same time. I'm like, oop, but
a little nippy.
It's a bit ambitious of me to think I can wear a t-shirt, but I very quickly put on a jacket, and then when we got in here, I was like, nah, it's not so bad. Don't be such a pussy.
Mm.
So I'm with it.
I do remember spring days at school. We're always on or closest to the 1st of September. And sometimes South Africa wasn't ready yet.
No, it was always cold.
Yeah.
I remember we used to
So you'd go in a summer dress and then like a crocheted tiny little summer jersey.
We would always say we'd like to do shows outside for spring, remember? Mm. And then when spring came around, we were like, we shouldn't have said yes to
We're
this.
Still hibernating a little bit.
Oh, exactly. Okay, so here's a good question. Fundo wants to know, are the criteria for Miss World and Miss Universe, are they the same? Yes, of course they are. It's a beauty pageant. So he says, if they are, then we don't need the other one. If they're not, I wonder what they are.
It's more opportunities for sponsors. It's more opportunities for... There are a lot of beautiful people in the world. I mean, it doesn't come down to just 12.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with this, but I really don't think about it very much. I mean, like, honestly, this is probably the most thinking I've ever done and my brain hurts around Miss World and Miss Universe and all this stuff. And the misses, all the miss.
And then, of course, you get misses of each country as well.
God. Okay. It's very complicated. This is, oh, it's starting to give me a headache. Let's just stop.
Though they might seem similar at first glance, they're actually quite different. Miss Universe is all about showing off confidence and achievements, kind of like a big, shiny fashion show. Miss World, on the other hand, puts a lot of focus on helping others and making the world a better place through charity work.
Oh,
I think I'd rather do Miss Universe.
Yeah, at least Miss Universe.
I'm going to cancel my entry to Miss World. I didn't know it took that much work.
You're not going to do it.
No, anymore. I've just decided that's it.
Okay.
Bye, Miss World. You could have had me. Your loss.
Oh, I love it. Nikki says, today is the first day of school after an 8-week summer holiday. Going into winter downhill from here. Ugh, you're in the Northern Hemisphere. Yeah. Why such long holidays? What's that all about? Did you ever have an 8-week summer holiday? I don't remember eight weeks ever.
Only when you kind of went, when you went to varsity.
Even then, I mean, like you had to, there were exams and things and they ate into that on one side. And No. Not 8 weeks. What kind of slobs have 8 weeks of holiday? You explain yourself.
They still go to summer camp and summer school and winter this, and they just, they don't really stop.
I don't know. That sounds very indulgent. You know, I really don't think anyone should have that long a holiday. But that is what I'm a little bit preoccupied with at the moment, because we now have to start thinking, okay, September, October, November, December. So it's only 3 months away, really.
Mm-hmm.
1st of December, if you haven't got plans by then, you're never going to make them. It's too late. Everything's booked up. You maybe don't have money. You haven't thought it through. You got to have a plan. And I'm nowhere near that plan. So another bit of stress to add to my Monday morning.
Mm.
I mean, I'm having a great day, but this is stuff I have to think about now.
It's also almost impossible to imagine things slowing down. Now it's a big roller coaster to the finish. But you need to remember that it does actually slow down. People might say, no, we're not going away. We're not closing. But there are 2 weeks where no one's communicating with anyone else. True.
Yeah.
Is that to look forward to?
I quite like that.
Yeah. Though.
I mean, I'm not against us all just shutting down communications for that week between Christmas and New Year, definitely. And maybe a little bit on either side, right? That's what you're talking about. Okay, Ted says, December and January are pretty much useless where business is concerned. Only year-end parties and compliments of the new year for that period. Do companies still do end of year parties?
So the office that I work in doubles up as quite a nice function area. I don't know if you've heard of the roof in so that's my building. And boy, almost every day there are office, you know, corporate end of year parties up there.
Wow.
Definitely still happening. People are spending money on it. They're doing it.
They'd be having it.
They've been having it.
Okay, so there are companies that are having these. I suppose now they're going to want us to do. You guys are going to want one, hey?
Don't you guys have something every Friday?
They all went and played paddle the other day, which I still haven't done. I still have never played paddle. I've got to give it a try at some point.
We had an amazing paddle event this week, and it was on the most beautiful day of the week. It was just sunny. It felt like being in Camps Bay somewhere. It was just done up so beautifully. And
Camps Bay in Joburg.
The influencers.
How high were you?
I must just take my hat off to content creators. And I'm really inclined to call them content creators.
Yeah.
They work really hard. It's a very competitive world. It seems glamorous, but then they're doing their job. But all you have without them is just a venue with pretty decorations. When these girls and guys came in their paddle outfits, which were very demure and very cutesy and very demure.
That word again.
The place just came to life. They literally walked in and immediately were sitting on the court with their leg up on the net. And some of them had photographers. They brought the vibe immediately. They were pouring water from canister to canister and making things with balls and piling bean bags together and doing.
It sounds like a production.
That's what it was like. And they all just, it's as if they were born knowing what to do.
Speaking of being born knowing what to do, even I watched the rugby.
Oh, yes.
On Saturday. And, oh, no, yeah, Saturday. And it was, I mean, my whole weekend's a bit of a blur. It was so much fun. And I could see there was such a vibe at Ellis Park. Mm. I know people who were there. And they said to me it was unbelievable. It felt magical. And I watched the beginning, obviously, with the anthems and the vibe. And when Gaten McKenzie walked in and everyone cheered for him. And I thought, wow, this is a happy country. You know, we were talking about this, Simpiwe and I, on Friday's show too. This whole no DNA, just RSA. And clearly, this is something that people are picking up on. Mm. I love it. Makes me very happy to see this. So I had a very, very real spike in overall happiness over the weekend when I saw that. And, you know, congrats to the Booker for just pulling off an unbelievable win. Because there was a point in the game where I was like, oh, this doesn't look good. And they just, I mean, they're just phenomenal. And the less I say about sport, probably the better. Because I know so little. But I just love it. And it's so nice to see, you know, South Africa feeling good and proud of something. The bad news over the weekend, I was absolutely horrified to hear about the death of Thabiso Seqwane, Fresh's wife, and a woman who I've known for a long time in the media business. Just such an absolute sweetheart. You know, she was always full of smiles and generosity and love. And apparently, the family released a statement over the weekend that she had some kind of cardiac situation, some sort of heart situation. And it was clearly very sudden.
Yeah.
But very, very sad because, you know, knowing the family a little bit, it's just, it's horrible when it happens to anyone. But when you know people, it's so much harder. So condolences and lots of love to the Seqwane family and to everybody who knows them and everybody who knew Thabiso. It's very, very sad. Leanne has got some things to tell us, though, this morning. And she's always got these weird facts. And there's almost you're almost competitive with Simpiwe on her Friday stuff. So I wanted to get to this. No, because she brings up like where she, I don't know where she finds these surveys and things. But apparently you have figured out which generation loses the most money to online scams. Now, I don't know how they figure this out.
Well, it's pure research.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. I've done the research.
Yeah. No, this is a Business Insider article, so they explain exactly how they got to the research. It was the Better Business Bureau that did research. And okay, this is the US. Let's keep that in mind.
Better Business Bureau.
The Better Business Bureau.
Okay.
So which of the generations do you think are most susceptible or lose the most money to online scams?
I've always thought it must be the very old people.
Mm-hmm. So the boomers.
Yeah, like boomers. And even if there are whatever the generation was before, like the...
Us, Gen X.
No, before the boomers.
Oh, yes, I see,
like,
what you mean.
Older than that.
The silent generation.
That one. I would say that
they... Are they still alive?
Well, I mean, aren't they the most likely to be taken out by scammers?
Well, one would think boomers, right? Especially because of those shows we see with Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
With the little old ladies who have been scammed by Peter, who's actually someone from Nigeria on an oil rig.
And he's like, oh, I love you and I want to marry you and I'm so excited to meet you and I just need a visa.
Yeah.
And if you just help me get my visa and if you just send me $100,000, and these poor old ladies are like, well, of course I can help you, dearie, if it means you can get here sooner. And they get taken. Are they not the most obvious victims?
That's what I thought until this brand new research.
What do they say?
It's actually Gen Z.
No.
Yeah. You would have thought that they were the most savvy.
Gen Z is so cuck at everything. They really are. No, they are.
So, yes, according to this new report, people aged 18 to 24 reported the highest median loss on average for the second year in a row. So they lost on average to scams in 2023, with most of the money going to rackets related to employment. Employment's a big one. I get made, and I mean, I'm not Gen Z, but I've seen, I get added to WhatsApp groups which are like employment groups. And then you submit your CVs. Not that I did, because I knew it was a scam. I've had ones before where it says physically meet at a physical place in Johannesburg. When you look it up, it's like a derelict building.
Oh, my God. And people fall for this?
Yeah.
Hadamine says, Gen X grew up with it. We don't fall for it anymore. I lost like 20 rand to a Nigerian prince. No more.
So employment, online purchases is another.
Right.
And investment or cryptocurrency.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
so that's thinking that you're all like, you're going to get right into the crypto thing and you stoop yourself.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, you see, astrophysics says Gen Z is woke and so naive. Yeah, listen, I know people of all ages who've been ripped off, but I'm surprised that they are so gullible when they've grown up as digital natives. I mean, these are people who've, technology is part of their universe from virtually day one.
Well, if you think about it, and this makes sense, because they're always on these devices and live their lives through them, the chances of them being exposed to scammers are getting higher. Mm. And let's not forget, the scammers are getting more clever.
Maybe the scammers themselves are Gen Z. They speak the language. Have you thought about that?
There's that.
I wonder if our producers have ever been caught out by online scams. I wonder. What are you, Gen Z? Millennials, yeah. Now, no one even talks about millennials anymore. They're so irritating. We've just stopped talking about them. Have you noticed?
Well, the millennials are now irritated with Gen Z. Remember when Gen X started becoming irritated with millennials?
Yeah.
Now millennials are irritated with Gen Z.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are the millennials becoming grumpy and old?
Yes, they are. It's quite
funny. Are you guys grumpy
see
with Gen Z? Didn't take a second. They're like, yo. All right,
yeah. And the thing is, obviously, you're trying to follow. If your target audience is Gen Z, you're trying to follow what they want. And the millennials are the ones that have to reproduce it. So your designers, your marketing people.
And they hate
it. They're so grumpy.
Here's a good point being made by Bitcoin Boy. It says AI videos will catch more people for scams. That's a very big deal, because these AI videos, these you know, kind of what do they call them? Real fakes?
Deep fakes.
Deep fakes. Yeah, deep fakes. These things are so goddamn believable that you would have to be really, really careful to not be caught out. So I can see how that is causing trouble for people of all ages and all generations.
But don't lose hope for the interesting stories of romances that have gone wrong amongst the adults. So adults between the age 55 and 64 losing the lowest average amount to scams, an average of $91 per person. However, more susceptible to investment scams, home improvement scams, and then moving up from number 7 on the list to number 5, romance scams.
Well, don't be scammed for romance. That's the most embarrassing one. And would you rather have 1,000 rand taken from you or your dignity, as in, you fell in love with someone who didn't exist? Which is more embarrassing?
I'd rather pay 1,000 rand up front to avoid that.
Absolutely. Me too. I mean, it's just so bad when you look, first of all, I would love to know who the people are who do this, because I think it's really pathetic. And it's cruel.
They're individuals.
I know, but it's horrible. It's just horrible to do that. I always think, you know, shame, there's a gullible person born every minute. Fine, fair enough. But if you're the kind of person who actually takes advantage of those people, you're a certain kind of scumbag, right? Mm. I mean, these are like often very lonely people, and they're probably harmless. They're probably like really nice, sweet people who just, they're so desperate for love, and that's where you hit them? It's just so cruel. I feel like that's the worst kind of scammer. If you're just trying to get money out of someone, fine, that's just greedy. But like, trying to manipulate people who are desperate for love, oh, that's horrible. I don't know how you deal with yourself. I know how you sleep at night. Oh, you're worse than those people who chased out that Miss Universe Nigeria.
So apparently romance scammers are now introducing victims to cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah.
So they're eventually turning their conversation from romance towards finance. and tricking them into investing into fake crypto platforms.
Oh, yeah, that's a biggie. You got to be very careful. Basically, treat the internet like a dangerous, dark, dimly lit street corner.
Or like a fairy tale where nothing's real.
No, fairy tale, you want to abandon yourself to the imagination because a fairy tale usually ends well. Think of it as a dangerous, dark, dimly lit street corner at 3 a.m. with a lot of really dodgy looking men in trench coats wandering around. That is how you should think of the internet. If you think of the internet as being a fun, friendly place and a fairy tale, like Leanne says, you're going to get scammed. That's what's going to happen. Matt says, scammers are the same kind of people that steal Amazon packages from people's porches. Well, you remember that video that we shared on the show not so long ago where that guy came out with a gun and chased that porch pirate away?
Wow.
And he ran for his life.
There's that. And there was a guy who rigged a few boxes so badly. Some of them had major fart spray in them.
Yeah, that's good.
And ones with cameras. And
if someone's going to steal your stuff, they must be punished.
Mm.
All right. I also see here, Judith says, I'm a millennial. We are the best generation ever. And we pick up on fake stuff on the internet better than any generation before or after us. We analyze everything. Do you think that's true? I know that the reason that this is being put on the screen right now is because our producers are millennials and they feel like she's right. I don't know so much. I don't think you're the cleverest generation ever, but you do pick up fake stuff on the internet probably better than everyone else. I would say because you're the first fully digital generation.
Mm.
And maybe because you had to learn on the trot, you know? Perhaps. I'll give you an 80% chance of being accurate on that one. Azalea says, the scammers love to prey on people receiving chemotherapy. It's fucking sick. That is disgusting. You see, that's the kind of thing that makes me sick. Ugh. Dirty, filthy bastards. All right, let's get James in here. James, come and tell us about the sport because I've already spoken about the rugby, but there's so much other stuff. And then we can find out what's beyond the scoreboard, which is brought to you by Superbets. And Ben. Ben's not here today, though. So he's helped send some ideas through to James because James can't watch everything. He's busy producing shows. You know, he's doing whatever. What do you do all weekend? Watch sport?
Mostly, yeah.
Oh, okay. Don't know much about what James does over the weekend. You irritate people. Is that a thing that you've prioritized?
Well, when you support Liverpool, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have to remind myself that you support Liverpool. I mean, nobody's perfect, but that's really embarrassing.
That's all right, true.
So let's talk about, we could talk about the Premier League because I know that's on your mind.
It is.
Formula One, rugby, Paralympics, Diamond League, and MTN8. Where do you want to start?
I want to start with the Premier League.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
My entire weekend.
There you go.
Liverpool played Man United this week, and that's where I'm going to start immediately. I'm wearing the shirt. I might as well.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool played Man United this weekend at Old Trafford. Liverpool did what Liverpool needed to do. We won 3-0.
Well done.
So we love that for us.
Well done.
I also had a bet with Shaz from On the Bounce.
Mm-hmm.
If I won this weekend, or if Liverpool won this weekend, he has to wear a Liverpool shirt on the show this week
and?
As a Man United supporter. And we did.
That is like,
and here we are.
That's the age old rivalry, right? Yeah. Manchester United and Liverpool hate each other, both red and white, supposedly, but such loathing and despising of
each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's going to have to wear it.
Yeah. I even took a video of myself putting all my Liverpool shirts in my washing machine last night because I've got like six of them. So he's got a choice. And I'm very excited.
At least you washed them. I wouldn't have done that. I would have given him a dirty one.
So yeah, Liverpool did that. That was on Sunday, but switching back to the beginning of the weekend, Saturday, Arsenal took on Brighton. They drew 1-1 there. Leicester took on Aston Villa, 2-1 to Aston Villa on that side. Southampton, they took on Brentford. Brentford won that one 3-1. City played West Ham. West Ham, they lost 3-1 there to City. And then Tottenham lost another game. They lost to Newcastle this weekend. So not a great start for them to the Premier League this season. In the world of rugby, you mentioned it already, rugby championship this weekend, the box, they narrowly beat the All Blacks this weekend. It was quite a game.
Yeah.
I found myself literally biting my nails. quite a game this weekend. I saw Ben was also there.
Right.
Living his best
life. Yeah, he was. He had lots of fun.
On the other side of the rugby championship, Argentina, they took on Australia. Australia won that one 20-19, which is quite a surprise. That leaves the log looking a little something like this. South Africa in first with 14 points, New Zealand second with 6, followed by Argentina and then Australia. So that's how the rugby championship is shaping up at the moment. I'm going to go back to football because there was also MTN 8 this weekend. And a huge upset. Sundowns lost to Stellenbosch in the second leg of the semi-final. In the first leg, they also lost 1-0 to Stellenbosch. Second leg, they lost 1-0 again, the aggregate being 2-0 there, and Sundowns are out. Huge surprise. Then also, the other legs of the semi-finals, it was Pirates versus Cape Town City. The first leg was a 1-1 draw. Second leg, Pirates walking away with the win 2-0 over Cape Town City. That aggregate score, 3-1. And that final will be Pirates versus Stellenbosch. Which is interesting. Everybody probably expected the Sundowns final.
Yeah.
But not to happen. Because they won everything.
Okay.
Sundowns just do it for years. There was also a Grand Prix this weekend. Lots of sport this weekend, guys.
Where was it?
This weekend it was in Italy at Monza. Uh-huh. One of the most historical tracks on the calendar. And what better team to win this weekend than Ferrari at the Italian Grand Prix? That's exactly what they did. Ferrari walking away with the win. Charles Leclerc first place, Oscar Piastri in second, and Lando Norris in third. Max Verstappen only managed a sixth this weekend. It doesn't affect the driver standings too much for him, though. He's still in first, Lando Norris up in second. He's now only about 60 points behind Verstappen, which is interesting. And then Charles Leclerc in third. And then there was some Olympics this weekend, Paralympics. There was also Diamond League that also happened. One of the big stories, though, Letsile Taboho running to the 100-meter sprint win and taking gold this weekend. And then I think that's pretty much it. Oh, no, wait, there was Paralympics. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, come on. We've got some medals here.
I'm so sorry. Once
James,
the adverts decide to
You want them popping. To attack you?
Not really.
I saw a chick with a... I saw this woman with a bow and arrow and she pulled the thing back with her foot.
Yeah.
While holding it with her other foot.
Yeah.
And shot the arrow right in the bullseye. And I'm like, I have two arms and I can't even do that.
Yeah.
That's pretty
makes
wild.
Makes you feel pretty crazy. Yeah. Makes you feel pretty useless.
Yeah. And she like holds something with her mouth and then she pulls the thing over her shoulder. I mean, she's got no arms. And she like,
it's very impressive huh?
with her foot over here, and then she's like, boom, pretty wild.
Did you see? I put a news story in the running order. There's a pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Para Archer.
Yeah,
I think it's called.
Pretty wild.
Also
unbelievable. Actually, by the way, if you have any skills like that, before you go to the Paralympics, come and show us first.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see that in studio.
I'll even sit here with an apple on my head and you can do that.
Yes,
apple
we can shoot an apple off. He's just volunteered. That's great.
Volunteering
all right, let's do it.
Speaking of the Paralympics, I guess we'll jump right into it. Over this weekend, the South Africans that were in action had Marnus Blom. He set a new African record in the men's shot put with a throw of 13.16 meters. He finished seventh in his field over the weekend. We also had Tesna Abrahams, the best leap of 4.46, her best leap, sorry, in the women's long jump, which was an area record. She finished 11th. And then we also had more long jump. We had Puliseto Mabote, who finished sixth with a leap of 6.44. And that is, I think, mostly the weekend in sport. It's been quite a weekend. Of sport.
Very good.
And we love that for us.
Okay. Yes, we do. Mpumelelo Mhlongo, the winner of that medal for South Africa. Very, very good news at the Paralympics. We'll take all the medals we can get.
We will.
Right, Leanne?
Absolutely.
For sure. All right. Thank you, James.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
You may leave and carry on with your day of work. All the things you have to do. Yes, irritating people. But the story about this pregnant para archer, Sure, that's a para archer.
Yes. Para archer.
That's what we call
it. Archer, archer.
Archer, archer, archer. Her name is Jodie Grinham. She beat Paralympics GB teammate and defending champion Phoebe Patterson-Pine to win bronze in the women's individual compound. Now, apparently, she's 7 months pregnant and secured her first individual Paralympic medal after previously winning compound mixed team silver at the 2016 Rio Games. So she did this with, you know, being 7 months pregnant. So we don't, none of us have any excuse. Honestly.
She's got a lot to deal with at the moment.
And she's still winning medals. So frankly, wow. I read this stuff and I'm like,
I wonder how many babies were in utero. Is that what you say?
Utero.
In utero. While their parents or mothers went on to win medals.
Or how many babies were made in Paris during the actual Olympics.
A lot more.
That would be fun to know. Than
the former.
Definitely. There are a whole lot of babies, Olympic baby. You like wind back the clock and you find out, okay, my mom was pregnant here. She must have conceived me on, she was at the Olympics. That dirty hoe. I wonder which Olympic athlete could be my daddy because my mommy won't tell me who my daddy is. How exciting. You could basically watch the Olympics over and over again, try to guess who your dad is. And that would be a fun game for anyone to play. Terrible. All right. Let's get on to some other things. Apparently, love for cats has lured students into a course which uses feline research to teach science. So, again, cat people. Leanne is such a person. I've got a friend. She has 7 cats.
Mm.
She's not single, so you can't really call her a cat lady.
Yeah.
But she's getting dangerously close to it, not mattering whether she's single or not. 7 cats is a lot.
Yeah, I have to say I've beaten her with 8 at one time. But yes, now I'm down to 2. I've never got a new one.
No, but you were the queen of cat ladies
for
a while.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely owned that. So, it wouldn't be difficult to attract people to a certain course if you promised them cats.
Well, the whole thing is, what prompted the idea for the course is this evolutionary biologist. She actually spent her career studying small lizards in the Caribbean. So very specialized.
Wow.
She happened to be a lifelong cat lover.
Mm-hmm.
And it never occurred to her to do anything scientific with this love for cats and house cats. Like she says, they're actually quite hard to study. And this is someone who studies lizards.
Why?
Cats in general. I mean, house cats. Because you don't follow them around all day.
But you can attach a tracker to them these days and see what they're up to.
It is different now.
It's an incredible thing to see, by the way. If you, I don't have cats, but for people who do, they've attached these trackers or they put a collar on their cat with a little chip in it. And you see how far they range away from the house. I mean, you know, a dog is confined, obviously, to the yard, however big that is. But cats can go anywhere because they hop over walls and, you know, they explore far, like 3-4 kilometers away, and your cat's coming home that night for supper. And you think she's just been in the tree. The same friend of mine who has all these cats, we suggested to her the other day that because she's got all of them, she should start a little like cat cafe. Because they've got these apparently already.
Yes, where people can,
people go. Yeah, people go and then they sit and they have tea or coffee or whatever, and the kids pet the cats. And for people who don't have animals, it gives them a chance to be around animals. I think that's a very cool idea.
And then you can adopt them as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's very cool.
So that's quite nice because you don't, when you adopt from a shelter, you don't really have the cat in its natural environment to pick up on its personality.
Yeah.
Whereas here, they're free to do their own thing and you can tell whether they're demure or whether they're
demure. You've got to stop with that word.
Action-y, action cat, whether they're like playing
all right,
hard.
So what is this course?
So the course is about the past, present, and future of cats, where they came from, what they do, and what their future may hold, and how scientists address these sorts of questions.
It's very important, this, huh?
Well, you know what?
This is massively important.
If this was around
life or death, this is about the survival of the human species, everybody.
It tells a lot more. Studying feline behavior is actually very telling of human biology and the way we work, psychology. For instance, look at the big impact that cats have had on bird populations.
Have they?
Yes, absolutely. They're
slaughtering birds.
They've like framed where the, you know, the population of birds sits. The pros and cons of living with felines, the role of hybridization as a result of constraining force in evolution, the top down of larger role of larger predators like coyotes and dingoes in controlling cat numbers, and the prospects for new genetic technologies to create allergen-free cats or to curb those free-roaming cats that we have.
And do they discuss toxoplasmosis?
They would, yes.
Because that's a thing.
Everything that's got to do with hygiene and toxins around cats, they would use as well. Their material features, research papers, they go on field trips, even to a homeless cat advocate feeding unknown felines. They learn about Egyptology and what cats' roles were back then.
Okay, but this does sound like one of those, it's like that Taylor Swift course, right? You can go to university. Yeah. In America, there's some university that offers a Taylor Swift course where you get to study the economy of Taylor Swift, the rise of Taylor Swift, the music of Taylor Swift. It's like really just a way for a university to fleece money from extremely gullible people.
You know? Listen, if you think about it.
Scam. It's a scam like those ones you were talking about earlier.
They're probably learning more than they would have if they did nothing. It's almost like hiding vegetables in bolognese. You can teach them something at least.
I don't know. I mean, it does feel to me like there are lots of things that people do that they're trying to disguise as being legitimate areas of study. And I mean, all of this stuff is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That cat stuff you were telling me about just now. It's interesting. But it isn't a course that needs studying. Like, how many people need to graduate in cat studies?
No, I totally agree. I mean, if my child asked me to go and do this course and I knew that they could do something that was a lot more involved, then...
Or a lot more useful to society.
A lot more useful. Like, but for somebody who is not going to do anything but sign up for a Taylor Swift course or a course on cats, at least they're learning a little bit of something.
They're finding a way to rip their parents off. I heard a story over the weekend from someone I know about this girl who is just like, she's 29 and she's just perpetually studying just bullshit things. It's a real person. I've never met her, but she's expensive. She's studying overseas. Her father's just paying and paying and paying for her to do all these endless courses about nothing. And I wonder, like, you know, we talked about scamming earlier. I wonder if parents aren't often the biggest victims of scams because their kids say to them, oh, I want to study this at this university, then I want to study that, then I want to study that. And they end up in sheltered employment because they're studying. It's not really employment, but their parents are paying for everything for years. At 29, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself if you're still taking money off your parents and studying some bullshit degree at 29. Really? If you're studying medicine or engineering or something like that, cool.
Which actually takes that long.
Yeah, but cat studies or Taylor Swift, you know, I'm going to be suspicious.
Yeah.
I just think those kinds of things we should stop. And if you're a parent who's paying for those things, you need to tell us how your kid managed to talk you into that. How your kid managed to get you to be so gullible and dumb that you were like, sure, you can go and study cat studies at the University of Arkansas. Here's $50,000. Exactly. That's what your child comes out looking like a cat with a hat on and a tie. Cat in a hat. Now you could study that poem more than you could study cat studies. It would teach you something.
At least you'd probably learn poems in cat studies.
You would do cat poems.
And you would probably have to read Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
But I do think that there are gaps, like I was saying, for that friend of mine who wants to, you know, she wants to have all these cats and she can have other people pet them. But then she's like, no, they want other people to pet them. It's like, well, then.
Yeah, I wouldn't take my own cats to.
But then you must be a cat lady and just And the cats cost you money. Yeah. If you ran a cat petting center, the cats would make you money.
Yes, that's the thing.
Right? They would at least be able to wash their own faces, as in pay their own way.
Mm-hmm.
But if the cat doesn't even pay its own way and it just costs you money, you're the fool. All right, here's an interesting story. South Africa is considering transitioning from coal to citrus and marijuana plantations to generate hemp in the coal belt. So instead of growing, instead of mining coal, we're going to grow hemp in those areas. Does it sound like
there's been a demand for it? And we know that obviously we're moving towards a greener way of life, so less coal. But the problem is that we haven't adapted our infrastructure to deal with that.
Yeah.
But the hemp thing, that's been a huge cry because of the amount of money that could be made from it, which people have been asking for years.
Hemp and marijuana. Mm. So, I mean, people could grow weed or they could grow the stuff that we'd turn into, you know, fabric for clothes or for other things, because hemp is quite useful in a bunch of different ways. So apparently the study suggests the eastern Mpumalanga province, which is a significant coal-producing part of South Africa, could also explore alternatives like producing aviation fuel from sugarcane and expanding the tourism sector. How does that sound to you?
We use sugar as fuel. Might be short-lived.
Yeah.
Let's hope they put a lot of sugarcane into that airplane.
They wouldn't just, they'd still have to make kerosene and naphthalene, but they'd have to make it from organics. You can do that.
Mm.
There's a process called fractional distillation.
Right. Ugh. I don't know. I've just studied cats. What would I know?
All right. Well, anyway, they're going to transition away from coal, and it could lead to job losses in the region. It is vital to address the potential socioeconomic challenges. You see, this does sound to me like one of those green scams. We're talking a lot about scams this morning. But it's almost as if there are a group of people in the world who just want to ruin other people's lives by changing the economy. Coal is a perfectly useful thing, thank you very much. I'm sure that all of us over the course of this winter at some point cooked something over coals, right? So necessary resource, useful resource, something we should be very proud that in South Africa we have a lot of. But for some reason, there are a whole bunch of people who are just absolutely hell-bent on stopping that industry, even though we have so much of it, and turning us to hemp and plant fuel and all these other things, which are expensive and difficult to manage. I did mention the other day, didn't I, that I went driving through the Eastern Cape and that beautiful landscape between PE and Plett.
Mm.
You've got these magnificent mountains on the right-hand side as you drive towards Plett, and you've got these plains that lead to the sea on the other side. And they're now overrun by these hideous windmills.
Oh,
these monstrous great windmills that just dot the landscape. And it's ugly. And I don't know how much electricity they generate, but I can't imagine it's nearly as much as a coal plant. There's no way. I mean, we've seen the numbers across the board. There is no windmill that is able to power even a small suburb. So it just seems like such a blot on the landscape. It's like such an ugly thing. And someone clearly has got this bug up their ass that they have to get the rest of us using this stuff. I don't know if I like it. So I'm all for hemp. I'm all for weed. I'm all for sugar cane, all of that stuff. That's great. But coal is also a good business, you know? And frankly, it was coal that got us through so much of the hardship of the load shedding that we were in. It was bad coal that started it in many cases.
Except when it was wet.
Yes. Yeah, it was bad coal, but we needed coal. This country runs on that. So don't turn your back on it. How about that?
Mm.
Maintain a sensible path. All right. Did you get up to anything fun over the weekend?
I wouldn't say fun, but because when I was actually doing the show with you last week, Monday, at about 7:30, I received a message during the show to say that a friend of mine had passed away.
Oh, God, Leanne, that's horrible.
And she's Jewish. And for the first time, I experienced a Jewish funeral.
It happened straight away.
Yeah. So that was at 7:30. She'd passed away at 6:30. Got the news at 7:30. And the funeral was at 1.
Wow, same day, huh?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there was so much about it that completely made sense to me. I was speaking to my brother. We were brought up from a young age as Christian, but then, you know, allowed to make our own choices. And if you look at the way we do things, the person passes away and then up to a week later, you could still be holding a memorial service. There would be a cremation, and there at the memorial service, there would be speeches, eulogies, quite a big, you know, gathering of people. And here you receive the shock. And on the same day, in this case, it's
either the day or the day after.
The mother of friends of mine, right?
Yeah.
They receive the shock that their mother has died. Mm-hmm. And a few hours later, you're in the cemetery.
Yeah.
It's hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking through the red sand.
Yeah.
And you're digging a hole.
Yeah.
And throwing sand onto the coffin and literally burying your mother.
Mm-hmm.
That trauma in one day is absolutely agonizing. But it's done in one day.
Oh, yeah. So I've probably been to, ironically, over the last couple of years, more Jewish funerals than any other kind. And I have to say there's something to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone has a lovely time. I don't think it's ever nice saying goodbye to anybody. But the idea that you can get it all done in one day and that it's over fairly quickly and that you have some time afterwards where friends and family come round, you know, it's called Shiva.
Mm.
And basically you see people. And I mean, you don't have to say anything to them. You just sit there. You don't have to talk.
That's the thing.
And it seems to me like the most sensible way of getting through these things. But it is for people who are used to a much more drawn out, much more lengthy,
planned,
much less kind of, it's quite rough. I mean, like, you know, you see the coffin go in and the guys have to put soil on top of it. And I mean, and I've done that at a number of funerals.
Wash their shoes and hands afterwards.
Yeah,
because you've got sand on you.
Wow. Okay, that was quite something. But it's done. And then you can carry on with your life. And I suppose you get rid of that. You don't have to draw out the trauma and the sadness of it for too long, which is probably not a good idea.
And it's almost as if you're taking somebody who's in a shocked state and doing all of the hard parts
straight away, yeah.
And it's getting that done. Yeah. You know, no one has to sit and think about what they're going to say and think deeply about the person and mourn in that way.
Yeah.
I mean, even just being amongst the public who are, you know, friends and family, but still there are so many other people that pitch up. Even that is daunting.
Percy Stasiosa says that Zulu funerals are legit too. I've been to one or two of those. The Jews are efficient, man, says Carl. MM says, what's the reasoning behind the quick burial? Well, it probably in ancient times comes from the fact that you're in a desert and it's hot and you have to bury people because you don't want to keep a body above the surface for long. I mean, that's probably the reason, but it does make sense emotionally to
me. Yeah, I think there's spiritual reasons as well, but I mean, physical, spiritual, emotional, it makes a lot of sense.
And Muslims do the same thing.
That's correct.
It's also quick. And then to bring us back to happy thoughts,
because
Leanne, I was hoping she'd say, oh, yeah, I had a marvelous weekend. But instead she brought up funerals. I'm just going to stop asking you about your weekend from now on.
I don't know what else to say.
Roxanne reminds us happily that it was spring day yesterday. The smell of jasmine is in the air. It's time to party. Oh, so good. And Carl says that each of those windmills in the Eastern Cape can power 3 microwaves or 2 electric blankets. And they're so ugly.
Not even a hairdryer.
Yeah, not even a hairdryer. How embarrassing. Really, just terrible. The wind turbines are so bad for nature, says Bitcoin, but it kills birds and the blades become worn out. They're fiberglass and they dig a massive hole and just throw them in there.
Oh, goodness. That's not good.
No. I think that's awful. Really, we've got to get rid of those things. Windmills are shit. That's what everybody in the comments says. I'm with you. Cats are a spinster's game, says Sanele. That's spot on. Sounds like Gareth has some experience in cooking solvents. Did I?
Yes, you mentioned cooking the sugar.
No. Fractional distillation. No, that's you learn that in organic chemistry at high school.
Mm.
It's not, please, don't attribute to me special knowledge that I don't have. is there currently any certification for selling for private use? You mean energy or marijuana?
Yeah.
Because we've been over a lot of things this morning. I don't know. Marijuana, I think you can have a kilogram. That's the maximum. Anything more than a kilogram,
you're allowed. One joint that you're allowed to have with
you. No, you can have up to a kilogram, I think. If anybody's a serious weed person in the comments, let us know.
Yeah.
Some companies started creating tube houses with wind turbine blades. Ugh. Mm. See, now this is where like sustainability just becomes a joke. Now you're trying to find uses for things that are just not useful. Like wind turbine blades, really? Do we need to force this? Bitcoin Bird says, did you see the video of the Nigerians carrying the coffin through the Joburg CBD? I heard it was Sunnyside in Pretoria, not Joburg.
I didn't see this.
Yeah. I did see that on social media, but I don't know anything about it. Nigerian funerals are a big party. This is supposed to be a celebration of life. All I think of is that famous...
Who were real Nigerian pallbearers.
Yeah, at the funeral in COVID, remember?
Dancing. Where it became a meme for you, the danger of death.
Thank you to Cyril for signing cannabis usage into the Constitution for 2024. Okay, well, I don't know how much you're allowed to sell if you're a 1.1 at home or 100 grams in the car, says Percy. Sounds like he's been arrested for more. They
sounds like he
known.
Might have had 1.2 and there was a problem.
Yeah, I really don't know. Don't ask me about how much weed you're allowed to have. I won't even have it smoked in my house.
Oh, really? I think smell. It stinks, yeah.
It's horrible. I sound like such a prude. But I don't know. It's not. It's just the smell. It's nothing else. If you want to do it, you can go and do it in the garden.
Mm.
I just don't want to know about it. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to speak to someone who I'm really, really excited to speak to. It is Monday, but it's also the beginning of spring. His name is Skip Archimedes. He's a transformational, holistic healing and health coach. He's a mentor, a motivational mentor, and an international speaker. And he's in South Africa for a little bit. And I'm always curious to find out about what people are doing to improve themselves, to help the rest of us improve ourselves. And I think that's a great way to start our Monday, don't you? We will 100%. Get there. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere.